If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Genesis this morning. The book of Genesis. Our camp theme comes from the book of 2 Timothy. Paul made it clear that he was looking back on his life. He knew that he was on that short row, you might say. He knew his time was short. And he's looking back on his life, knowing that he's coming to a close. He said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Think about that. Paul was able to look back, and he understood that he had fought well, and I like to say he fortified well, and that he kept the faith, he preserved the faith, he scotched it, and he finished well. And so Paul, like Stephen, he lived well, he loved well, and when it came time for leaving, he left well. If there's an example in the Bible of one individual in the Old Testament that lived his life well, that he loved well, and when it came time to leave, he left well, it was a man by the name of Joseph. You'll find it. And so I'll kind of give you an overview even of somewhat of what we'll be studying in camp this week. But here's what I want you to understand today. Every person here, you may think that you're insignificant and you will not make a big impact with your life. You may think God does not have big plans for you. But I want to say to you, God has a purpose for your life. Every person here, God has you here. And you may not make a prolific in the world's eyes, but you might make an impact on that one person who turns the world upside down for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to understand the significance of your life. There's a young man for every turn of his life, it seemed, the world was saying that you have been discarded, that you're useless, there's no purpose, but he held on to the promise that God had made to him, and in that he ended up victorious and making such an impact with his life that we still yet stand here today and are able to preach the gospel, because from those lives that he spared were the ones that were the descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful that we can make an impact, even when things look dire. The Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 45, Genesis chapter number 45, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, neither angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did not send, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Notice that. God did send me before you to preserve life. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for those that made an impact in my life. I look back and I think of a grandfather, I think of a faithful Baptist preacher, thankful for faithful friends and family members. Lord, at every turn of my life, through my young years, Lord, there appeared to be nothing there. There was no hope. But God, I am thankful that you're a God of mercy and you're a God of grace and you're a God of great power that can redeem anyone and change a life. Now I pray, Father, that you would move today. Maybe there's someone here that marks their life. They've measured their life and think that it's not all that important. God, I pray today that you'd show them it's wrong. And may they see the importance of fighting a good fight and keeping the faith and finishing the race that you have for them today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The life of Joseph, as you study it in the Bible, was a life of intense struggle. He fought well, he lived well, and he loved well, and ultimately he left well. We should live with that same desire, every one of us in our life, to live our lives for the glory of God. We ought to love people the way God has called us to love them. We ought to love them in spite of the difficulties and how they treat us. And one day, I believe we ought to be, like Paul, be able to stand back at the end zone and give a report at the end of the game. You know how they do. At the end of the game, the reporter goes, finds a player, and stands there with that player, and he says, now tell us about the game. Tell us about the game you just played. And that player will kind of rehash, and they say a lot of things, you know, you've heard them say. Well, we all just come together. The ball went our way, and we got lucky, and you know, we gave it our all. We gave 110% today. We wanted it more than the other team, and all those things. Let me just tell you, we all sit back and say something that you really mean. Well, Paul stood back at the end zone when he's being interviewed, and he says, I've fought a good fight. Paul didn't say I won every time. Paul didn't say I've done everything that I should have done, but he said, I've fought a good fight, and I'm sure I've kept the faith. I mean, I've done everything I can to build up the faith in others, everything I can to support, make sure the faith would be carried on. And he says, man, I am finished. I have finished my course. I've run the race that God has called me. And it might not have been as fast as others, but he finished. Amen. And Paul was looking back with excitement and thrilled to know he'd done and he'd been what God had called him to be. I want you to see today that Joseph lived his life in the very same fashion. He had become everything that God wanted him to be through all the adversity that come his way. Now, you see, the life of Joseph is a dramatic story. It's fascinating. It's enduring. It involves youth. It involves beauty, drama, temptation, jealousy, suffering, forgiveness, and a triumphant faith. You see, he's one of the people in the Bible that illustrates the principles of faith beyond anybody I could testify of this morning. In fact, he's the only person that I know of in the Bible that pictures Lord Jesus, maybe outside faithful Daniel, that, may I say to you, there's nothing ever recorded of his life that shows a sin. Now, he wasn't sinless. We know that. All of sin. But I believe there's a reason for that. It's because Joseph serves as a picture of Jesus Christ. And you can examine his life and you'll find no sin in the life of Jesus. You see, I want to say today that you look at his life, how in the world could God have a plan for this individual when his life was such a mess? You see, Joseph's come from a dysfunctional family. Now, I told Sunday school class this morning, listen, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody in my family, but I have a sister I was raised with that was 5 years older than me, and I got about 10 years of age. I found out I had a sister that was 9 months younger than my oldest sister that lived with us. There's some dysfunction in that family, amen? And I can even go back before then, before I was ever born, and the dynamics of two women living in the same household, my dad trying to take care, it no doubt was a mess. I don't even understand all that, but it led about to a lot of craziness in my family, okay? I can tell you that I can remember when my little brother came along. He is younger than Isaac. Isaac always referred to him as his little uncle, okay? There's some interesting dynamics in my family. And listen, I could go on and tell you story after story today. I was probably raised vastly different than 90% of the people that's here today. But you see, your upraising does not give you an excuse to stay in sin. Amen? It just doesn't. And so I want to say to you, Joseph had a dysfunctional family. You think about it. His dad had two wives, and we know there's a little bit of tricking there. His mother had been an idolater. You'll find that his brother hated his guts, his uncle hated his brother's guts. Now, I'll get this right. Esau hated Jacob, which was Joseph's dad. And you'll find in the scriptures that when Jacob got married, he wanted one lady by the name of Rachel. He worked 7 years for her. And guess what happened? Rachel's father tricked him. And when he pulled back the veil, guess what? It wasn't Rachel that morning, but rather it was Leah. It was Leah, and he had worked 7 more years. Now, those women got to competing over having children, because if you had children, that meant you were blessed with God, and they thought who could have the most children, that's the one that Jacob would be aligned with. Well, Leah, God opened her womb, she had babies. Guess what? Rachel didn't have no babies, so Rachel said, here's my handmaiden, take her, and you can have babies with her. In essence, they'll be our child. She can be your concubine. We had children with Bilhah, the Bible tells us, and then, guess what? you'll find that Leah wouldn't be undone. She gives her handmaiden to be a concubine to Jacob, and he has children with her, and eventually, I mean, it goes back and forth. Leah had more children. One day, you'll find that finally God opened the wombs of Rachel, the one that Jacob loved the most, and she had a child, and his name was Joseph. But you know what? By that time, he had 11 other brothers, and he had a sister, and he had a household full of women that was competing against one another, brothers jealous of one another. I want to tell you something. He came from a very dysfunctional home. Do you get a lot of this? We'll discuss this more at church camp, but I want you to understand, he came from a defected family. His brothers hated his guts. You'll find in Genesis 37, the brothers, you'll read that they hated Joseph. In verse 4, verse 5, verse 8, they hated him because his father loved him. His father gave him authority over them. He appeared to them to be a tattletale. But I believe Joseph was just concerned about the reputation of his father. You'll find that Joseph was one who had principles. You'll find that Joseph was one his father gave the coat of many colors, and maybe he had to sit outside the common task of those being a shepherd, so he was privileged in his life. You'll find that Joseph was one that stood unique compared to all his brothers, and he was despised not only for the uniqueness of his life and the favoritism of his life, but because he lived a righteous life. They hated his guts. They hated Joseph for this reason. Man, you say, what is that? I want you to understand, not only that, did he survive this dysfunctional family, he also survived temptation. And you say, what is temptation? Temptation is simply the solicitation to do evil, to do wrong. It's the enticement by evil arguments to the devil in your mind, your flesh telling you to do things, the world, you see it every day, a lure to do you something that is not good. That's what temptation is. You find the Bible says in John chapter number 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world, for what? All that's in the world, what? Is the lust of the flesh. You'll find the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You want to say, how did Joseph succeed? And he come from a dysfunctional family, but just like you and me, we have to deal with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We have to, there's something we want that for immediate satisfaction. There's something there that we long for. And then there's that desire we have to be known. You see, the lust of the flesh is your normal bodily desires. The lust of the eyes is the things that look good to you, that draw you to them. The pride of life is the desire to be admired and appreciated by others. Joseph faced every one of those temptations in his life. You see, I want you to understand that, but yet, when he faced them, he stood victorious. Let me tell you, there's one other person that stood victorious in their life when they were faced with all these three forms of temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. All three points. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he said, yet he was tempted like us, and yet without sin. May I say to you, Joseph personified 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may bear it. Joseph every time he was victorious over these attacks against him, these temptations of the flesh, of the eyes, and the pride of life, he stood victorious just as the Lord Jesus did. So I say to you today, Joseph wasn't superhuman, he wasn't a super Christian, but I say this to you, just like any other man, he had desires, he had wants, he had things he wanted to bring in his life, there's things he wanted to do, but yet he was victorious. And if Joseph can be victorious, I want you to understand, you don't have an excuse today to look at me and say, I'm just human and that's why I sin. I think it, so I'll do it. That's nonsense. Amen. Come on, I'm getting ready to go. But I want to say to you, if I had to test of prosperity, say prosperity. If you remember, his brothers hated him so much, one day his father sent him out to check on him. What did they do? They took Joseph, threw him in a pit. They took his coat, tore it up, and they put the blood of a lamb on it to trick his father, thinking a wild animal ate him. They took that boy and they sold him as a slave. Sold him as a slave down in Egypt. And you say, what's prosperous about that? I'll tell you what happened. He got put in the house of Potiphar. And you go from chapter 37 to chapter 39. Chapter 38 is a gross chapter in the Bible. But you get chapter number 39, and you'll find that Joseph, what he did there, he's in the household of Potiphar. He's chief of police of all Egypt.
He's one of the executives of Pharaoh. And you know what happens in that household? You don't find him moping. You don't see him griping. You don't see him complaining. But you see God blessing everything that Joseph did. In fact, Potiphar recognized it. He said, Potiphar said, Joseph, take care of this. Next thing you know, you look, Joseph is managing the home of Potiphar, probably managing his personal affairs. He is being blessed while he is there. And everybody recognized that God was with Joseph even as a slave in Egypt. And you'll find that one day Potiphar's wife told lies, said, Joseph tried to rape me. And guess what? Poor boy, guess what? You say, how in the world could God have anything to do with this guy? He went to be a slave, now he's in jail. They sent him to prison. But you'll find the Bible, when you study the Bible, you know what he was doing in prison? Was he down there moping? I'll tell you what he was doing. He was in prison, and the next time we see him, he is running the prison. He's managing the prison. The prison keeper said, Joseph, take care of it. God just kept blessing him every step of the way. Every step of the way. You'll find that eventually you'll find him in the palace. You'll find him, God took him out of prison and set him up to be chief only under a Pharaoh. And while he's there, let me tell you, whether it was in the house of Potiphar, whether it was in the prison managing it, or whether it was in the palace, let me say this to you about Joseph. He had preeminence. People recognized him as somebody. He had position. He had popularity. And the Bible tells us he was good looking, so he had physique. Amen. He had everything going for him, and yet the world would look at his situation and say, man, God ain't going to use you. But I got news for you. God had a plan and God had a purpose for this young man. And I say to you here, I don't care how bad your situation looks right now, I want to remind you that God has a plan and God has a purpose. You see, I say to you, Joseph dealt with the lust of the eyes, tested the prosperity. He found the test of temptation. One day, Potiphar's wife said, come lie with me. Maybe it was surprise. Maybe it appears that it was something that was sustained over a period of time. It was a sensible temptation. I mean, he had every reason in the world to give in to this temptation. Amen. His daddy wasn't there telling him it was right or it was wrong. Nobody would probably know about it. He could satisfy the needs of his flesh, satisfy her longings. It was probably something that was sensible. But let me say to you, he had conviction. He said, there's no way I can do this to him. He's put everything in my household, in his household, in my hands to manage. But not only that, I couldn't sin against God like that. May I say to you, you'll find he passed every test come along. He even passed this test, big one, one of self-pity. If I'd been Joseph, this happened to me, I've been walking around moping. I've been complaining. Poor old me. Not one time do you find Joseph sat around in the Scriptures, you read it, who sat around and said, poor old me. He never did that. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Joseph prophesied? Didn't he have a vision that one day everybody bowed down to him? You know what temptation this was? This was the temptation of the pride of life. Of the pride of life. You see, I want you to see this. If anyone ever had a valid argument to self-pity, it was Joseph. Who could blame this young man? Let me say this to you. There's nobody that ever went through as much adversity in their life outside of Jesus Christ. Nobody. Yet he stood true. He had a terrible upraising. His brothers hated his guts. His master's wife lied on him. He ended up in prison. But he remained faithful. And he demonstrated that by his deeds. He demonstrated that by his spirit. He demonstrated that even in prison. He looked around. He could see other people that were struggling. There was a butler and a baker there. And he said, why are you hurting? What's your problem today? And he said, talk to me. I can see something's wrong. And they talked to him. You know what he did? In the spite of all that happened to him, Joseph took the time and was alert enough and sensitive enough to see other people's needs. He wasn't going to be wallowed up in self-pity. That's what Joseph did. You'll find all through the hints of Scripture, there he was. You say, how did Joseph survive? Because he was spiritual enough to understand this. That one day those visions that God had given him would come to fruition. Didn't look like it now. It didn't look like it was any way possible. Here he's in prison. Here he has been a slave. He's been in a pit. Think about every position he's had. First was in a pit. And the next one, he's in a position there in Potiphar's house and as a slave. That's where he is. And then thirdly, there he is in prison. Think about everything. This boy, there's nothing you can look at. But you see, here's what I want you to understand. Joseph kept being faithful. You study the Bible and you'll find every time Joseph was faithful wherever God put him. I don't care how hard it was, he remained faithful. He remained loyal to God. And you say, why did he do that? I'll tell you why. Here's what I believe. Pay attention to this. Joseph realized his race was not finished. Simple. He realized that God was not done with him. That God had a plan for his life. And I don't care how bad your life looks right now, God still has a plan for your life. God wants to do something with you to impact others. You see, Joseph dealt with the lust of the eyes and the test of prosperity or greed. Joseph dealt with the lust of the flesh when it comes to the test of purity. And that was the gratification of the flesh. Not one time do you find that Joseph used any advantage where he was put in charge of Potiphar's house or in the jail, or even when he is prime minister over Egypt. He never used those positions to advantage himself. Not one single time. So he dealt with the test of prosperity, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh with purity, but also with the test of self-pity. He wasn't worried about glorification of himself. He was constantly worried about others, putting others first. So he tested the pride of life. And I want to say to you this morning, pay attention to this, and I don't want you to miss it. Joseph's life was pivotal. How was it pivotal? It links the book of Genesis from the children of Israel. How in the world did they get to Egypt, and how did Moses have to come back and deliver them? It's that unique link that ties together. You see, Joseph's family in Egypt was what it saved them from being assimilated into the culture of the Canaanites, and they become a mighty nation in Israel. God used that. It's a unique link. Not only is it unique in that the history of the Jewish people, in the life of Joseph was providential. God was absolutely in control. Joseph tells his brother after Israel died, or Jacob died, in Genesis 5:20, they were concerned, what's he going to do with us now that our father's gone? Here's what he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see, God was providential in the life of Joseph. God was used his life to be prosperous. He had the Midas touch in everything he did. His life was pure. Joseph's life was prophetic. And you say, how was it prophetic, Brother Grant? It was prophetic in several ways. Pay attention. I will not hit them all. But his life pointed to Jesus Christ. He's a picture. Both Joseph and Jesus were beloved of their fathers. Both were prophesied to be rulers. You see, I say to you that just Joseph, through his suffering, saved his family and his world from death. The Son of God, through his suffering, saved his people from the second death. Joseph was apparently put to death in the minds of his brothers. Jesus truly was put to death. But listen, they both came back alive. Amen. May I say to you, you find that both were condemned to die. Both were men who, that when they were condemned to die, they were put with two other men that were condemned to die. One was set free with Joseph. Amen. The butler was set free. The baker lost his head. But they were two thieves on the cross with the Son of God. Amen. Now both of them died physically, but one of them woke up in paradise with the Son of God. Amen. I say to you, you'll find in Scripture that you both were given a Gentile bride. Both their names mean Savior. Both of them, what it said, Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know what happened to Joseph? His family, everybody bowed down to him and did obeisance because he was the most powerful man in the land. And catch this, troubled times came. A 7-year period of trouble came to them while he reigned. Guess what? There's coming 7 years of trouble here upon the earth as well. You say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? Joseph's brothers didn't recognize him the first time. Jesus' own people didn't recognize him the second time. Joseph's brothers received him the second time. When Jesus comes back, listen to me, his people will receive him on that day. And you say, what are you saying? I could go on and on and on this morning, and you'll see it at church camp, but I want you to pay attention to this very fact. His life was prophetic, and that his life pointed people to Jesus Christ. His life was there to point people to the saving power of God. Now, whether you realize that or not, his life made an impact. And I want to say to you today, as you're standing here, that God wants to use your life to make an impact. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make an impact in your life. Say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? I'm saying this to you. The life of Joseph is pivotal. Well, you really realize it or not, everybody pay attention to this, you're pivotal to the life of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ. Every person here Your life is going to influence somebody. How are you living your life? Let me tell you why Joseph was so impactful with his life. He understood that people were watching. He understood that he had to conduct himself the right way and do the right thing. Joseph realized that his life was providential. You say, Brother Grant, you don't know what I went through. I know this, that God's providential, and He has a plan and a purpose for your hurt and your sufferings. Every person here, God has a plan for. God has a plan. His life was prosperous. Everywhere he went, Joseph succeeded. God intends for your life to be a blessing to others. Joseph, you don't record, he store up things for himself, but what he did, he used his life to be a blessing to others. Are you being a blessing to others? And let me say this, Joseph's life was pure. He didn't have to give in to the world. He didn't have to become like the world to be used. He stayed who God wanted him to be in spite of it all. And the life of Joseph was prophetic. Are you prophetic? Is your life pointing others to the Son of God? God has a plan for your life. I don't care what happens. I don't care how difficult it gets. God wants to use you. And I'm saying, if you're here this morning and you've got discouraged, you said, Brother Grant, everything's been working against me. Everything worked against Joseph. Everything worked against Joseph until that day that God said, now's time. Everything may be working against you, but I promise you, if you're one of God's people, there's coming a day that everything's going to make perfect sense, and you'll be able to look back and say, God knew exactly what He's doing, and I'm thankful that I fought a good fight. I'm thankful that I kept the faith. And I'm thankful I finished my course. I want to encourage you today to finish the race, the life that God has given you, because it is providential and it is there to be a prophet to others. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand and preach this morning. And God, I'm thankful You're still God and You still reign. And God, we need to see through Your eyes. And so often I get just like the writer of Ecclesiastes, I see things from beneath the sun. God, help me to see from above the sun. Help me to see through Your eyes and understand You're still, even when I can't see, when it's cloudy, even when I can't get that high, God, help me to understand that You've got this. And God, maybe there's people here that's discouraged and scared. And maybe there's people here today that feel like they ought to quit. They feel like they're a failure. They feel like they can't do anything right. I pray today they'll understand that their life does matter. And God, I pray they'll come and say, oh God, help me to cling to faith. Help me to finish my course. Help me, God, to fight a good fight. Because there may be other lives that's hanging in the balance because of their life. There may be lives hanging in the balance because of Grant Hardwick. God, help us to do all we can do with the race that You've set before us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand.